Let me just start by saying congratulations to all the ones that are going to be graduating. It's a great time in your life. Most of the time, you know, it's exciting. There's always like some sadness that comes with that, and some excitement, and then some nervousness because you don't know what the future is going to bring, right? So it's kind of a mixed emotion type of time period for young people. Last weekend, Diane came in and told us that it was going to be Baccalaureate Sunday. And right off, God started working on my heart, and He said, "You need to bring a message." And I was sitting back there, and I couldn't even focus on what anything happened in the service. I couldn't even tell you what happened in my service. Because God was filling my head with things. And I didn't want to really do it, but I've been preaching in the past, and I've said, "You got to step out in faith." And so that's what I'm doing today, too. And then this could be kind of emotional a little bit. Because there was some tragedy in the school, right? I mean, there was another young person committed suicide. I don't even know that young person, but it hurts. It hurts, and I can relate because I know there was a time in my life that was a desperate time, a time where something like that could have happened to me, where I did something like that. So there's some emotion there, and so I can relate to that. And it's tough. And so here I am, I'm bringing this message. And the message ties into that a lot. But it's also hard to say. You know, it's tough to understand why things happen and the way things go in our lives. So this message is for the graduates here. Hopefully to inspire you. But also, I want to encourage all the older people as well, that we need to be talking to our kids more, that we need to get an understanding of what's going on in their lives, and also that the importance of God, even though it's not being taught in schools these days, or even said in schools, and actually just the opposite. Where God's being pulled out of schools and really pushed away. I like to use analogies. When you're driving in your car and a signal pops up on your dashboard, you have to make a decision. Do you pay attention to that signal or do you not? You know, your car may be driving perfectly fine. And you say, "Well, why should I bring it in the shop? You know, there's nothing wrong." So you're driving along, and there's that thing blinking and blinking, right? Just kind of saying, and you're making a choice, right? And some people would choose to bring it in right off, have it checked out, make sure that everything's all right, even though it seems to be all right. And then other people would choose to say, for different reasons, I'm going to put it off. And I want you to keep that thought in your head right now, because we're going to come back to that.
It's just an idiot light anyway.
Right? Just an idiot. It's an idiot light. That's right. A lot of people are going to give the graduates a lot of opinions coming up in the future. And I'm just one of them. But I think that this is coming from God. I really do. I believe it. So I'm going to ask that you listen to this. And there, every other opinion, I would say, you know, take it into account. Listen to them. Because there's wisdom from people who are older, who have been there, who have seen what happens in our lives. Then you've got to make a decision. Do you believe them or do you not believe them? Is what they're saying valid or not valid? Being 18 and graduating from high school is kind of like a rite of passage into adulthood, right? That's kind of like the criteria we use in this culture that we have. And as an adult, we are trying to become more independent and be taken more seriously with our opinions. We are trying to decrease the guidance of other adults and parents. Right? I mean, that's what becoming an adult is. You're starting to formulate more of your own opinions. You're trying to decide more for yourself, and you don't need somebody saying, okay, when you come up to the street, take a right. Boy, am I dry today. I'm using my voice now. So in doing so, what's happening is you want to express yourself. And at this time period, or at least in my life, that's when I said, hey, I know it all. I don't need adults telling me anymore. Because I'm smarter than them. I'm educated. And nothing bad will ever happen to me. And life is good. But today, God is challenging me. He's challenging me to challenge all of you. And the challenge is to pursue and listen to God's guidance. And so you say, why should I listen to you? And I say, well, because the Bible says so. And you say, well, why should I believe the Bible? Well, there was a good write-up I just recently read that kind of I thought was appropriate. And it kind of talks about this book, the Bible. And in it, here's a book. It was written over a 1,500 year span. 1,500 years. That's quite a bit of time. Written over 40 generations. 40 generations. We'll never see it here on this earth. Written by more than 40 authors from every walk of life, including kings, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, scholars, etc. Moses was a political leader trained in the universities of Egypt. Peter, a fisherman. Amos, a herdsman. Joshua, a military general. Nehemiah, a cupbearer. Daniel, a prime minister. Luke, a doctor. Solomon, a king. Matthew, a tax collector. Paul, a rabbi. Written in different places. Moses wrote in the wilderness. Jeremiah in a dungeon. Daniel on a hillside and in a palace. Paul in a prison. Luke while traveling. John on the Isle of Patmos. And others in rigors of military campaign. Written at different times. David wrote his in a time of war. Solomon in a time of peace. Written in different moods. Some writings from heights of joy, others from depths of sorrow and despair. Written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Finally, as the subject matter includes hundreds of controversial topics, yet the biblical author spoke with harmony and continued from Genesis to Revelation. There is one unfolding story. This one unfolding story is what we want to look at simply and without theological jargon. By far, the most unique thing about the Bible is that it claims to be God's own word. So think about those statistics. Those are crazy statistics, you know? That all this time period, all these people, all these different situations, and yet we end up with one book that flows from beginning to end. That's pretty incredible. That's not coincidence, I don't think. I'm just in my own mind. So there's some validity to the Bible. In the Bible, there are over 100 verses stating to pursue God, talking about pursuing God. Two examples say basically the same thing. One is in Psalms 105:4, and the other one in Proverbs 5:17. So if we go to Psalms 105:4, and it's a simple statement. It really is. But it's a strong statement. And it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." And that's what I'm talking about today with the graduates. Seek His face. There's going to be a lot of people telling you not to. There's going to be a lot of situations that are going to tell you not to. But I'm telling you, seek His face. Look into Him. And that doesn't just mean coming to church. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about figuring out who God is and having a relationship with Him so that He can guide your life. And so you sit there and you say, and you ask yourself, why should I do this? Especially when you're so young. And for the most part, in this country, as young people, we have it pretty good. We got it made. We're blessed. We've got cars, and we've got cell phones, and we've got computers, and we've got people, and we've got friends, and we've got food on the table. So why do I need God when things are going so good? You may not know this, you may know this, if you come to church or if you've been reading your Bible at all. But God wants us to be transformed into the person He intended us to be and fulfill the purposes He has for us. A lot of people think, you know, you're born and you are who you are. And that's a false statement. God has something else for us. He wants to make us a better person. The person He created us for. If we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is where it talks about it. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." He's making us new. He's transforming us. That's only if we allow Him to do it. If we ignore Him, or we don't pay attention to Him, He's not transforming us. We have to allow Him to do it. Some of us will become this person He wants us to be, and some of us won't. And that's just a fact. People are going to choose to either accept what he's doing for us, or they're going to choose to go the other way. Another reason that I would say to pursue God more, in this country, life can be great for a lot of young people, especially young people. At some point during life, though, we go through trials like what happened the other day. A lot of people have guilt for what happened. A lot of people have hurt for what happened. And it doesn't stop with this circumstance. In life, things happen. So even though we may be cruising along and everything seems fine, something happens, and it happens quick a lot of times. Some people will have more trials than others, but everyone will have to deal with something, whether it's their health issues, loss of a loved one, or other personal hurts. And Satan is a real thing. And he will use these circumstances to twist your mind right around. I feel Satan working right now. He's trying to attack me. I'm having a hard time getting words out. Usually they flow. I can feel that presence. But I'm going to reject that presence because of Christ. They keep us away from the person God created us to be. That's Satan's purpose, is to keep us away from what Christ has built us to be. Right. And nobody wants to see that happen to anybody in here. I don't want to see that happen to any other young person in this building right now, that's for sure. Because it hurts. To avoid this, we need a secure foundation to stand on. And so let's find out about this secure foundation. Let's go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. We need a good foundation. If we don't have a good foundation, we're going to fall. When bad things happen, we're going to crumble. And we're going to go, it's going to attack us, and attack us, and attack us. It will shackle us right down to the ground. And what is this rock that is spoken of? What is this foundation we're talking about? That's the question, right? So if we're going to have a good, secure foundation, we need to know the rock. that we're going to be on. So let's go to 1 Samuel 2:2. Stand on a rock, we need to stand on God. And that's why we need to pursue God. We got to understand who God is. Why is He important? God wants us to overcome all our trials and obstacles we face. Don't kid yourself. People are going to tell you, God made this happen, when it's bad sometimes. And that's a lie. God didn't make that happen. He wants us to overcome that stuff. He wants us to see something bad in this life and build ourselves up and become stronger. He wants us to trust Him. And I get it. I really do. When I was your age, the last thing I was thinking about was God and church. Again, I was brought up in a church. And when I went to college, I went to church maybe twice in 4 years. And I definitely was not pursuing God. And I think that's why God wanted me to speak to you today. It's because I get it. The world grabs us. There's so many temptations. The world grabs us and says there's a different way than God. And there is a different way than God. You can choose to go that path. I wouldn't recommend it.
That's not.
I made many ungodly decisions. Looking back on it, I had to go through some tough times I may not have had to go through if I was at least trying to pursue God and made better decisions. It brought me down a bad path. I made bad decisions. I went through trials I never should have went through. God didn't intend me to go through these trials. I made a decision that put me in a circumstance that put me through, I had to go through trials. And they were tough. And like I said earlier, there was a time that I ended up despair. I was a mess.
He makes it look like fun.
What's that?
He makes it look like
fun. That's right. And the devil, again, you know, going back to Satan, he makes it look like fun. And trust me, there is some fun when you're doing those type of things sometimes. I get that. But there's a consequence for that. There's a consequence. And that's something that we're not telling our kids enough about. There's a consequence sometimes for doing things that you think is fun. And that fun may only last 30 seconds. But you may pay for it for years to come. That's the amazing part. I want us all of us to remember that God gave us an instruction manual. And that's the Bible. This isn't a book of rules. A lot of people say that this is a book of rules. It's not a book of rules. If it was rules, you had to abide by it. But God gave us free will. We can choose to listen to this instruction manual, or we can choose not to. If we go by the guidance of this manual, things could be a little easier. If we don't, they can also be a lot harder in our lives. We can build a cabinet, and that cabinet may have an instruction manual that comes with it. If we follow the instructions, we can build that cabinet a little easy. Some of us choose not to follow that because we're smarter than the manual. That's me. I'm smarter than the manual. I don't need no manual. I can see what parts go together. And do I get it together? No. Actually, yes. Who said no? Was that Carla?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, yeah. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But a lot of times we will. I'll get that thing together. It'll take me twice as long. I'll have to use tools that I didn't have to use before. I'll have to get extra screws to hold things in that it didn't come with. I made an easy task of following the instruction manual very hard for myself. And that is what I'm talking about. If we know this instruction manual, your life can be that much easier. And life is tough as it is. Look around you. John said it earlier. I mean, there's crud everywhere. There's despair everywhere. This is a tough life at times. It may not seem it right now. Maybe you're cruising along in your car and everything seems fine. But it's not. Because at any second it can change. As we go through our lives, there are many deceptions out there in the world. I already talked about a couple of them. There are many very smart people out in the world who can convince us that lies are truths if we are not careful. And they are good at it. They say words that are pretty. They say words that draw us in. And they make it sound really awesome. But we're being fooled. If we're not careful. Some smart people are really trying to build us up and trying to help us. So there's got to be some understanding of which is which. Think about this. If moral standards are not based on God in the Bible, then what are they based on? The majority of people that I've run across all think that they're good people. And I have to say, based on what? What are they basing that they're a good person? When I was doing therapy for ADHD years ago, I had to go up to the prison for a time period and work on prisoners. And every single one of those people that I worked on seemed like good people. I would classify them as a good person. I had good conversation. They were intelligent. They were a good person in my eyes. And when they left, I also had a pamphlet that said the crime that they committed that got them in prison. And it wasn't good. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Maybe they changed in prison. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they were always good at the room and made bad decisions. But the majority of us all think we're good. But the real question is, what is it based on? I'll give you some examples. If we're not basing it on God, I'll give you some examples of why that doesn't work. And that was one of them with the prison. I kind of jumped ahead on my own notes here. But another one is, people of ISIS think that they are morally right to kill people who don't believe what they believe. They believe that. They are surrounded by people who also believe that. They were led to believe that that was true. Right? Dangerous. Be careful of who's leading you. The Chinese culture for a long time would break little girls' feet and bound them when they were a young age. Why? Because society in China at that time believed that that's what made a woman a worthy woman to have as a mate. You had to have small feet in that culture. So they would actually break the child's foot and bind it up. And the culture believed it, that that was a good thing. Can you believe that? I mean, that's how deception works. You see, one person comes up with this idea, and then it sounds good, and other people follow that lead. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Ground yourself in what God says. If you ground yourself in what God says, this will not happen. You will not fall into that trap. Some people are going to hear this message and really think about it. Some of us are not. And we're going to keep on going and doing our own thing. It's a choice we make. Some people at this point just don't care about this stuff, this God stuff. Again, because most of the time things are going pretty good. Or you've been so hurt that the devil has gotten into your ear and said, "How can there be a God if this happened?" And we get fooled when that happens. Most of the tragedy that happens in our lifetimes are because of our choices or somebody else's choices that came along the way and it influenced the rest of us. Look at our food. Our food is injected with stuff now. It's got chemicals in it. And what's happening? We see more and more cancer. We see more and more disease. Somebody made a decision that this is the way to go. Why? Because money. You can make more profit. You get bigger cows, you get more money. Don't be deceived. I could have fallen into any of these categories depending on where I was in my life. Today, I'm not going to feel the same as I did yesterday. And I don't feel and the same thing for tomorrow. There's things that change in our lives. And depending on where you are in your life right now, is going to also have an influence on if you choose to listen to this or not. For some of us, right now, the car light is blinking. Right? There's that warning. Blink. 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 And we can choose to listen to that light blinking. Or we can choose not to. And we may be able to go 10,000 more miles in our car before anything happens. But 99% of the time, if that thing's blinking, at some point, that car's going to break down. And that's like our lives. The blinking light is happening right now, catching your attention. Here's the good news. Sounds pretty bad so far. And they're like, "Oh man, he's slapping me all around." I'm not always slapping you around. I'm slapping myself around. This is me too. It's good news. As long as we're breathing, we always have a chance to turn back to God. God will take us back into His graces. John said that. Coincidence? I don't know. You made the call. Sylvia Song said the same thing. Coincidence? I don't know. You got to make that call. He will take us back into His graces. We serve a gracious God. A God who is willing to forgive us. No matter where we are, what we've done. No matter how many times we've fallen, He's there for us. That's a hard thing for people to understand. That's a hard thing. If somebody murders somebody, and they repent of that, and they ask God to forgive them, and they surrender their life to Him, they are forgiven. Man, that doesn't even make sense to us on this world, in this earth. It's hard to wrap our head around. But that's how He wants us to be. He wants us to surrender our lives to Him. We may have to go through some tough times that we could have avoided if we had pursued God more and looked to His guidance and His moral standard. But this I know, that God will be smiling. Smiling and there for us when we finally say, Jesus, I need You in my life. I need You in my life. I cannot do it alone. And this is when we're going to thrive. And that's when I throve. Is that a word? Throve? I don't know. I made it up myself. You get the idea. This is when it happens. When you finally say, and you know, it always bothers me, because this was me. I was so desperate. So desperate for a way out. My life was a mess. I was anxious. I had panic attacks one after another. I was a mess. I hated my life. My life was not what it was, where it was at, where I wanted it to be at a certain point in my life. I had this expectation that my life should be this way, and I was this way. It was messed up. I look back on it, it was messed up more than I even realized when I was going through it. And it was not until I found God that things started to change, because what God does is He changes your mind. He helps you to understand that even though things aren't that great right now, give it time, be patient, and I will turn that around if you will allow me. But if you keep holding yourself trapped in that same pattern, you're going to keep going in that pattern over and over and over. And we don't want that. We want to break that pattern. Change is scary. But sometimes you've got to change to make a difference in your life. And we can lean into people. People, having people around you is awesome. But people are people. We're flawed. So sometimes you think, well, I got a good friend and I'm going to lean into that person. And sometimes that friend drops the ball and blows your trust. God will never blow your trust. He won't. You keep leaning into Him. Press harder. I'm going to play a song. Noah, can you go play that song? I got a song I'm going to play. This is by a band called Thousand Foot Crutch. Thousand Foot Crutch. Think about this. What is in that name? Thousand Foot Crutch. Right? God is a long ways away. Maybe 1,000 feet. But He's sending a crutch down to us. Right? It's 1,000-foot crutch. This is a long crutch. And it's there to help us. Let's say His words.
My voice will sound so small. You can heal the past with just one touch of your hand.
Help me find a way. You feel so empty.
in that, they talk about something specific, right? And I think that part of the issue, is, especially as young people, is other people can hurt us by their words, right? And we get hurt a lot, and we can hold that really tight, and that can shackle us down. But the reason I chose that song is because, not because of that reason, but because of understanding that He'll meet you
anywhere.
And so if you have to be in your room by yourself, then start there. You know? Start there. He's listening. He wants you to reach to Him. And He wants to be there for you. And I'm telling you, the sooner you understand this, you're not going to look like me and say, man, I wish I knew this 15 years ago. Maybe I could have avoided the stuff I went through. Don't wait. I'm telling you, it's. I know people are going to walk out of here and they're going to wait still. But I'm telling you, don't wait. The sooner you get this, the better off you're going to be. I promise. I know it. Yes, Rachel.
And He's waiting for you more than you're waiting for Him.
Right.
He's right there waiting to
grab you. Right. And you can hear the despair, even in that song, you can hear the despair of even the singer, right? He's like, really? You can tell. He's intense, right? He wants to meet Him. He wants to feel Him. He wants His guidance. And that's what we're looking for. So I'm just going to close with a quick prayer. Does any of the adults want to say anything? I think, you know, just because, you know, the graduates and stuff, they've heard me speak, but I'd like other people. Yeah, Lainey, you had some.
I was just thinking this is good words for me to hear, too.
Yeah.
And we had that analogy of a car. We have one, our light comes on. Maintenance needed. Maintenance required. Boy, that made me think. Maintenance required. Get into the bottom of you. I need that. That's your maintenance right there.
Yeah, John.
It's also a book of hope.
Yeah.
You know, if we are down and out, you can read that and it will lift you up. I mean, I think all of us have been exactly where you've been. Some of us were a lot slower at getting there, but your life just turns around and there's hope.
Yeah, hope.
It's also a book of scores of people who messed up so bad,
yep,
and God's work in them when they turn to Him, and of salvation when there's no hope when they turn to God and He saves them. Especially in the Old Testament, it's pretty marvelous to have faith of a million people with so many, and God says, "I'll take care of it," and He does because you trust Him.
The book of Psalms is all crying out and pursuing God, pretty much, right? Anybody else have anything they want to say? Yeah, Melinda?
Just quick, we were at women's prayer yesterday, and miscarriages in our marriage. We did this just in college.
alone, there was a whole new lifestyle. You were free to get into whatever you wanted. And there was sex everywhere. And I was like, whoa. But I found I could have gone that route. It was really easy to have gone that route. But I found some good friends who believed in good things, morally, you know, who were Christians. And God, they just showed up. They were just right there. And I went that route. I found them, and we stuck together. So I just encourage you, if you have not asked the Lord to be your Savior, don't delay. Don't delay. If it's on your heart now, you ask Him in it now. And you follow Him. It won't be easy, but it'll be better.
It will.
Because He'll give you strength to do whatever you got to do to get through the evil onslaught. He will give you the strength because He's always going to be there. Even if you detour, He's there. I have to say that.
Yeah, it's true. And I was just talking to somebody else who's a believer, and he's hanging out with us down at the clinic, and we were just talking to him, me and Dan, the other day, and he was saying how difficult it is being a believer and being in that environment. It's tough, you know, and people looking at you saying, well, why are you doing this, and why are you doing that, and, you know, why won't you do this, and why won't you do that, but it's... there's a payoff. There really is. That little moments of pleasure that you're going to gain out of things will carry through for a lifetime if you don't listen, if you don't pay attention. Great. Yeah, Steve.
On that check engine light, I got advice one time from a mechanic friend. He said you can drive it as long as it doesn't start smoking and banging. But when that happens, stop the vehicle. Well, usually by then the engine's full.
Yeah.
So, and I also know people that, spiritually speaking, will cover, put a masking tape over the check engine light, pretend it's not there, but eventually they'll come back to haunt you. And one other thing, when I was teaching my health classes, I used to teach abstinence. It was the best route to go in terms of sexual involvement. So one of the teachers came up to me one time and said, I guess your message isn't working because you got seven girls pregnant at the high school. I mean, I have seven girls pregnant at the high school. And my answer was, they have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
They made a choice. They got the message. And when they got the best route to go, they made a choice and went effective. So like you said before, we all have choices. And colleges, those who are going on to college, the military, I've been both routes, and there's a lot of freedom and a lot of things that can happen. And I don't know the stats, but they said one time that kids who are churched, you know the Lord, when they get into college and they move on, a high percentage of them just go away from that. Mm-hmm. And I did that. 10 years ago. So you can make that choice to get the check engine light, you know, have that thing checked. Now you can wait until you've been through 10 years of crap like I did. He's still there. He's waiting for you.
So you can see the common theme. I mean, nobody here is innocent, that's for sure. So we all get it. We get it. We've been there. We made our choices. Some of them we paid a price for. Some of them we didn't. But, yeah. Anybody else have anything they want to share? No? I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and then I'd like to we'll do a quick little altar call and just see if anybody, you know, I think Melinda's speaking was really big on that, and I think I definitely think that God's saying that somebody here definitely wants to surrender their lives to Him. So, let's just start with prayer. Dear Jesus, I just pray that this was more than just words. I'm just a little human trying to be obedient to You. And I know You told me to say these things for a reason. So I just pray that whoever needed to hear this today hears it. And not only hears it, but trust you enough to act on whatever they need to act on. We just ask that the graduation goes well, that there's a safe period after graduation, and no tragedy happens. We put a covering over that. I ask that there be a message that you can send through their hearts to make good decisions, to not fall into the traps of this world, to not be deceived by people that try to deceive them. Build their minds up, build all our minds up, and protect us. And help us to make better choices each day. Every day we fail. We don't live up to the standard. But we just ask that we make better choices, that we pursue you more, that we just lean into you. And when we're hurting, that you're hearing us cry. And when we're happy, we're giving you thanks. We just love you and thank you, and just ask for a great week upcoming. Amen. So I'd like to just take a second. I'd like anybody who wants to recommit their life to Christ, for anybody who has never committed their life to Christ, if you want to come up as a group or not as a group or an individual, what we'll do is we'll just close our eyes. And if anybody wants to come up, they can come up right now. Nobody's looking. You come up and we'll just say a quick little prayer. And then and we'll know that Jesus is working in your lives at that point. And don't be scared, because that was me. I was scared. I went to a couple different functions and never walked up. And when I walked out, I felt bad. I felt like I missed something. I'm telling you, if you want to come up, if anybody wants to come up, just do it.
Could I suggest, Reggie, that they just remain in their seats?
We can do that too.
If they care to receive, that they would raise their hand with nobody looking.
Yeah.
But that would just be a more comfortable setting.
We can do that too, yeah. So if anybody does want to come up, you can come on up. If not, then we can do it that way too. Just if you want to raise your hand. Anybody who wants to raise their hand and just commit their lives to Christ? Everybody's got their eyes closed. Nobody's paying attention. The only person paying attention is the only one that really matters, and that's God. So if you raise your hand and repeat after me. God, I know I'm a sinner. I've fallen away from you. But I also know that if I ask for your forgiveness, knowing that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for me, that I am forgiven, I ask you to come into my heart and my mind, and just lead me. Help me make good decisions. Godly decisions. In your name, amen. All right.